good to see you in the Lord's house today. We're glad that you are here. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to our passage that we looked at last week, Ezekiel chapter 8, where the Lord comes to Ezekiel, his prophet, picks him up by the locks of his hair, and takes him in a vision over to the temple. And he says, "Son of man, I want you to see what really is going on in the hearts and minds and in my house here in Israel. You think that something else is taking place, the worship of me, but in reality, I want you to see something else." He said in verse 6, "He saith further unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel commit here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations." He said, first of all, these abominations are seeking to drive me off from my sanctuary. These are not actions of worship to me, but rather actions of worship to themselves and to the imaginations of their own heart. And then he brought him to the door of the court. And when I looked, he says, "Behold, a hole in the wall." And he said, "I want you to dig in the wall." So Ezekiel goes down and begins to dig with his bare hands, and he works his way and he sees this door as he goes through this hole. And he says, "I want you to go in." So he opens the door and he goes inside. And he said this unbelievable description, verse 10. "So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." The most disgusting possible creatures that you can imagine. We heard about the snakes in Sunday school. Imagine seeing the serpents all slithering on top of each other and creeping things. And then they're painted on the walls round about were the idols that they were worshiping. And then he looks over and he sees 70 men, all of them with censers. And the one that's chief among them was Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. What were they worshiping? They weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping the imaginations of their heart. If you'll look over in verse 12, this same passage, it says, "Every man in the chambers of his imagery," or his imagination. People were worshiping their own concepts of what they called God. Is there not a better description of what's happening today? I would imagine that if we could peel back the layers of most churches, that the worship is not going to Jehovah God. The worship is not going to the true and living God. The worship is going to vain imaginations about God, what we think God is. This kind of God that condones my living in sin, that condones anything that I want to do, and I can still come to church on Sunday and I'm going to worship God. But it's not the God of the Bible. It's the God of the imagination. If you're here today, I pray, that you've come here to worship the God, the living God of the living Word. That's the only God there is. And yet in our imaginations, we sometimes invent gods. And as Ezekiel was disgusted by the sight, he looks up and he sees the men with their censers. You know that special spices that was only to be used in the worship of God. It was a prescription of spices that was not to be used by the people. They were not to duplicate it to use on their own personal perfumes. It was only unto God. And what were they doing? They were taking that and worshiping all of the creeping things, the creation, more than the Creator. Let me tell you something. You do not have true worship when the imagination is running wild. You have true worship when your heart and your mind are linked to this book right here. As Brother Sanderlin comes to preach God's Word this morning, ask God, "Lord, help my heart and my mind to be in this book. All of me. Not just part of me, part of my mind. I'll give you a little bit of time. But every part of your being focused upon the Creator and His Word. Then, and only then, can you worship Him in spirit and in truth." Pastor Watt.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books this morning. We'll begin our singing with hymn number 27. Hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. We'll stand together, sing all three stanzas, number 27. Standing for prayer this morning.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that we can come and hear your word preached and sing hymns of praise unto you. And we ask that your blessings would be upon us. We thank you so much for what you've done for the school and the ministry here, everything that's involved with that, with the Children's Bible Club and the projector, all these different facets that honor you and reach out to audiences across the world. And we just ask that you would continue blessing there. We thank you so much for what you've done for that. We see many Christian schools around the country closing, many good, solid Bible newsletters or radio stations having to close in this economy over the last several years. And Lord, we just thank you. We know that it's not of our own work, but it's what you've done for us, that what you've been able to provide for us. And we just thank you so much. And we ask that you would help us stay faithful and those avenues, that we would just continue to proclaim your word, to proclaim Jesus Christ and his gospel. And we just ask that you would continue to provide us with the spirit and the will to be able to do that. And Lord, we ask, as the election is coming near, that you would just have mercy and grace upon our country, that you would, even though we do not deserve it, we ask that you would show us mercy, that you would help turn us back into the right direction. That we know in the past and with the founding of our country that even though many folks might not have believed in you personally, that there was a respect for your word, there was a respect for moral conduct. And Lord, we just ask that you would, in your grace, instill that back. And we just ask that you would be with us as the election draws near. And Lord, we just ask today that you would be with the message, that we would be open and receptive, that we would listen to what Brother Sandlin has to say, and that we would apply it to our lives, and that we would remember, as he said this morning in the Sunday school message, the armor that you've provided for us, as he listed off the shield and the helmet of salvation and the truth and the and every armament, every article of armor that you provide for us. None of it is of our own doing that we receive it. It's all by your grace that we receive it. It's issued to us from you, and we just thank you so much for that. And we thank you for your son who came to die for us. And we just ask that you would help us to remember that each day, and that life is fragile, but that you've provided for us. You've taken the sting from death, and that you've provided for us an avenue to live eternally with you in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Turn now to number 260. Number 260. Is my name written there? We're going to sing on the second and third stanzas, Then on the third stanza, notice the change in the chorus. Verses 2 and 3, number 260. Number 67, we'll sing just one verse of this hymn. Number 67, How Can It Be? Just the first verse only.
Willing to bear the shame of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In Him God's mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me. To Calvary's hill one day the Lord was led away. None else the price could pay for all my sin. He on the cross was slain, yielding His life in pain. He felt the bitter stain of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In Him God's mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me. Was ever love so strong? Was ever crime so wrong? When Jesus suffered long for all my sin, He saw my greatest need, became my friend indeed. Through Him I have been freed of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In Him God's mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me. His love can never decline, and He loves me.
God's people said, amen. And He loves me. It's the most wonderful thought that I think any of us can imagine, that He would deign to love us, unloving people, worthy of death, worthy of judgment in hell for all eternity, and yet God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that we might have forgiveness of sin, that we might have cleansing from sin, that we might have a home in heaven. There's no more glorious truth that you'll ever hear in this life than God loves you. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Well, it's so good to have Sam and Abby Sanderlin with us today. And we got just a taste this morning, and we look forward to the preaching of the Word of God. Can you imagine the conversation that must have gone on about 8 or 9 years ago? And Sam told Abby, we're going to Cameroon, West Africa. And she had visions of snakes. And he said, we're going to fly in a plane to get away from the snakes. No. But these two young people have given themselves to the service of the Lord, and desiring to go and take the gospel to an area of this world that is so dark and so difficult to minister in, Satan worship, the traditions that go back thousands of years, that are passed down from generation to generation orally, given to the children from the time that they're born, and yet they've taken the gospel, and the gospel of Jesus Christ has broken through in so many places, and lives have been transformed and changed, and we just appreciate so much the willingness of Sam and Abby to go and to carry the gospel. And the burden of my heart for this church is that God would raise up more missionaries, that they would come from our children, that would come from our church, that would take their place. Cameroon is just a small nation in Western Africa, but it's a needy nation, and there are needy peoples all around this world that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need someone who will go and tell them. And I pray that we'll have open hearts and receptive hearts to allow our children today. Culture and money and materialism are drags. They are chains that keep people from leaving. It's like we've heard so many times when Brother Kiros was here, he said, you know, so many times the desire is for missionaries when they come here to train is to stay. And that happens so many times. And we need folks to go and to go to difficult places. And we pray that the Lord would work in our hearts today. It may be that this is the day that the Lord breaks through in a heart of a teenager that's here at Grace Bible Church and said, Lord, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm going to go. I'll be that one. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Are you praying to that end? Are you preparing to that end? Is it the desire, well, I want to have my grandbabies about me? Well, that may not be God's will. It may be that you'll get to see them more in heaven than you will on this earth. Can you deal with that? Can you handle that? You need to ask God to give you grace then so that you could do that. Been many people that have gone and never been able to come back. And the Lord has blessed and used them. And so I pray that the Lord would use the ministry of the Sandlins today to work in the hearts and lives of all of us that are here today. Brother Sam, would you come?
Thanks again, Pastor.
Thank you.
Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. This chapter has long been one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And the events of this year kind of pushed me into preaching this message of verse number 20. I've long wanted to preach this verse, but never really had the opportunity or the reason or the burden, but really thank God for the burden of this verse and how I just really hope and pray this morning that this topic will speak to your heart and challenge you to be ambassadors for Christ. Verse number 20, 2 Corinthians 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Lord, we ask this morning that you just open our hearts as we have this time to preach your word. Thank you so much for the word of God given to us. We have today, and it's still being used to challenge and change hearts. Lord, we need your word in this country, in this hour, around the world. Thank you for the miracles that are still being done. The word of God is heard as it's preached. Lord, I pray for more changed lives in this church, in our family, around the world, in our ministry, Lord. Pray for churches around this country, missionaries, pastors, others, Lord, who are being ambassadors for you, Lord. I just pray for them this morning. Pray specifically even for our own friends in Cameroon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In May of 2012, Chris Stevens arrived in Tripoli as the ambassador to Libya. On June 7th, he did what all ambassadors look forward to. He handed his credentials to the new ruling power. You're not officially an ambassador until that country accepts you. And he handed over his credentials that he was sent by America to represent America in that government. And he was accepted as the ambassador. He knew the English language. He knew French. He knew Arabic. And you know, he had already spent 21 years in service on the foreign field. He loved his job. He wanted to accomplish this particular mission that he had been sent to do in Libya. But as you may know, on September 11th of this year, his mission, his life, abruptly ended as he was killed in a surprise terrorist attack. This ambassador, as we know, three other great Americans were killed on that day. It was said of him that he died in the city that he helped to save. He was representing our country. He was doing what he loved to do. And he paid with his life. You know, 8 ambassadors have died in the line of duty for our country. 6 of them being attacked in this kind of way. I don't know how many ambassadors. There are well over 100, I believe, representing America and the nations around this world. They represent our president. They represent our government, our country. But you know, there are thousands of ambassadors around this world who represent a higher power. Thousands. Throughout history, missionaries have gone to foreign fields to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. They represent the King of Kings. And if you yourself would count yourself as an ambassador, Paul says, we are ambassadors. Think of the many millions that could be representatives of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning, and I want you to believe as you leave, that the greatest privilege on this earth is to represent the King of Kings. Greatest privilege you'll ever have to do anything. All the things that we can do, all the opportunities this country gives to us, the greatest of them all is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you fully representing Him this morning? Are you His ambassador? In our text, I want to focus essentially on three credentials for those who represent Heaven's King. The ambassador handed his credentials. He was recognized. He was accepted. So you have credentials to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Credentials that will give you confidence. Credentials that will give you a specific mission. You see them this morning. Number one, you have an authority. You see the ambassador's authority. Ambassadors are diplomats of the highest rank. They formally represent the head of state, the president, the king, whatever. And they do it with what they call, I get this big word. You ready? This is a school church, right? So turn your brains on here. Plenipotentiary power. That big word simply means full authority from the government. Ambassadors, if you think about it, their mission has changed in time. Now we have instant communications. The heads of state can actually call each other. Back in the day when ambassadors were first being sent, they went with a burden. They went with a load. They went with a mission, and they had full power of a king to do it. You and I today have an authority. The Christian ambassador's authority first is from God Almighty. We look inside this passage of Scripture this morning. Verse number 18 says, all things are of God. We see God in verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. We see Christ throughout the pages of Scripture. But I am so glad this morning that we serve the true, almighty, living God. We're already reminded in our worship today. Think about a man who was to become and who already had been a power in himself, Moses. When he was called upon to go deliver a message from the most powerful kings on the earth, Pharaoh. Moses himself, though he had come from that court, he had lived there, he knew what he was getting into. And he had been in the desert for a long time. Maybe he lost a little bit of his polish. Maybe he lost a little bit of his ability. That's exactly where God wanted him. But when it came time to do what God asked him to do, Moses had one question. Who will I say has sent me? What was the answer? I am that I am has sent you. Can you imagine as the reality of that power settled in on Moses, gave him the confidence he needed to take that step and to continue all the way to Egypt and to make that announcement. God has said, let my people go. And then to see the demonstration of the power of the I am, of Jehovah God. Folks, Moses got a hold of this authority, and he knew that the one true God is the one who has sent him. Christian's ambassador also comes from God the Son. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. We already talked this morning that Jesus Christ is everywhere. But do you know he also has all power? Make no mistake, Jesus Christ is the Lord God. And that is the reason why you have authority to do what you need to do. If you're going to represent someone, you need their authority. You need their permission. You need them to send you. Isaiah 9:6 gives us a glimpse. When Jesus came to this earth to represent God to man, it was written unto him, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This mighty God is the same as the Almighty of the book of Revelation, and of which John the Apostle was commissioned to write his last message on this earth. Folks, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty. I love talking about that to Jehovah's Witnesses. Their blood boils, my blood boils. There's a spiritual conflict that's real. And we need to know who Jesus is as we represent him to others. Why bother representing him if he's not who the Bible says he is? If he's who the Jehovah's Witnesses say he is, I'm wasting my time. I wouldn't join them even if I did believe who they said he is. Folks, we have a God to represent and we have his authority. Think of the first time that I wandered into a certain village in Cameroon. We were going there on purpose. It's a long story. It's an 8-hour drive from my house. We're going there to meet a friend who turned out not even to be there. And since that day, he has not proven to be the person we thought he was. So that's another story in itself. But he invited us to come to a certain village to see how maybe God might be leading to reach those villages. We showed up, me and two pastors that are wonderful men of God. And this guy who invited us there wasn't there. So now we find ourselves in the middle of this town, surrounded by all these villages that belong to the same people group, and we're asking ourselves, where's this guy? You know, we showed up here now, we don't have any friends, no contacts, no nothing. Well, we're meeting the people, we're talking to some people in the town square. It's dry season, we had had a long, dusty trip, and we're tired, but we're glad to be where we finally, it was not easy to get there, let me tell you. But then we get this message, some guy runs up to us, and he looks at me, looks at the other two pastors, and he says, "The chief wants to see you." And we looked at each other, okay, now this is it. This is it. We don't have a friend in the world. We didn't know the chief was in that area. We were planning to see him, but he found us first. And that wasn't necessarily the way it's supposed to be. So we were led to the chief. And he's sitting there waiting for us to come, and he speaks to me through an interpreter. "Who are you? What are you doing in my village? What do you want?" All these questions. And we tried to explain. By the time I got to the fact that I was a Baptist missionary, to be honest with you, it kind of cooled things down a little bit because, long story short, but the Baptists had come there a long time prior to that. And let me just say now, there's a desperate need of revival in that area. The gospel, there's churches there of different kinds, and let's just say that the gospel has been forgotten by many. I won't say by all, but by many. He told us about the grave of the first missionary who happened to be a Cameroonian from that very village where we were. He went somewhere, he got saved, he got trained, he came back to his people. Remarkable story. He was buried about an hour hike away. The chief told us about it. He's still speaking to us through an interpreter. I asked him if I could come and see him personally, the chief, the next day. We dismissed from each other. The pastors and I immediately left for a long hike. We had already had a long day, and it was a long way getting to that gravesite, but we did it. We had a great time with the family. I mean, that's another, there's so many sub-stories here. I'd be here all day. This is a great place that the Lord led us to. I came back the next day to meet the chief, and I think one of the first things he asked, "Did you go to that grave?" And I'm so glad we could have answered yes. That was important to him. We've since discovered in getting to know him, he's all about history. He loves the history of his people, of his village. I told him, and I gave to him a gift, and I said, "Sir, we were planning to find the chief. We just didn't know." I explained the circumstances. Our friend abandoned us. We didn't know the chief was here. I said, "But see this watch," and it was still in its original package to prove it was new. It was a gift. And I said, "We brought this for the chief. Now that we know you're the chief, this gift is for you." He took a look at that watch, looked at me, looked at the others, and he began immediately speaking to me in perfect, educated English. I was stunned. I was floored. He invited me the next time I came to his region, to his palace. He's the chief of, you know, a number of villages, numerous villages in the area. A couple of months later, we made the journey. It wasn't easy to reach his palace, but we did. He had a ceremony all planned where he put this on my head, put his hand on my head, and made me an official part of his palace. He gave me a title that is translated as messenger. It was an awesome day. I mean, I wasn't expecting that when I got there. But we arrived in his village the very first time. No friends, no credentials, except if I can say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friendless at first, but now, this red feather may not mean much to you, but that is credentials in Cameroon. I can wear this hat, and I don't always choose to. I always keep it on the dashboard of my car in case I need it. And when people see me wearing this hat with this red feather, they no longer are shouting white man. They're silent. They're looking. And if somebody has the courage to come up and ask, where did you get that feather? Because that is my credentials to go to any palace, to go to any region of those two English-speaking states of our country. Folks, I have, physically speaking now, naturally speaking, these kind of credentials to move around. But you know, the reason I was in the village in the first place was because of my credentials of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was my authority, and he still is my authority. Would you pray that I would be a true messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ in these villages? Number three, the Christian's ambassador, his authority, it comes from the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 13. You see the Holy Ghost sending Paul and Barnabas out of their church. But in that same passage of Acts chapter 13, and for a time we won't go there, but we also see that it was the local church that sent Paul and Barnabas out of their church. Put that powerful twosome together. Bible-believing local church. Spirit of God putting his stamp on these people. Sending them on these mission trips. Paul and Barnabas, what a team. Folks, you have authority from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord for my local church. I thank the Lord for your church that has made us a part of your missionary family. What a blessing to be sent by God as an ambassador. An ambassador owes his importance not to himself, but to the power that he represents. Folks, missionaries are not, they're normal people. We are. I mean, I'm as normal as Adam. You may not believe that, but maybe more normal. But we owe our importance, if we have any, in your eyes, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've simply answered a call to go where we believe God's called us to go. And I thank the Lord for you here this morning who are doing what God wants you to do. But would you answer this question for me this morning? Who can be an ambassador for Christ? Is it Paul only that this passage refers to? Is it the 12 apostles only who are to be ambassadors, who are to be missionaries or go around the world and preach the gospel? Is it modern day missionaries only who are ambassadors for Christ? Would you add preachers to that and say, well, it's just full-time preachers? See, the list kind of keeps moving along. No, it's all of those yes, and it's anybody who's a child of God. You sitting in this church this morning, if you're willing. One person told me recently, you know, we're all ambassadors. It's just a matter of if we're a good one or a bad one. And if you refuse to take up the responsibility of an ambassador, you are a bad one. Ambassadors have a job to do, and I encourage you this morning, take up this responsibility. If you have a lack of confidence, get your confidence in the fact that you have an authority as a Christian to represent Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone tell you that you have no business talking about Jesus Christ, because it's not true. Christ has commissioned you to do so. Greatest privilege on earth is to represent the King of Kings. Well, very quickly, what else do you need this morning to represent him? You need an appointment, an ambassador's appointment. During the days of the Revolution, George Washington and the Congress and other leaders, they appointed chaplains to serve their soldiers in the war. I've really enjoyed reading about some of those incredible men. One of those men, and there were many, was John Gonneau from, well, it's hard to say where he's from, but he was pastor of a large church in New York City. He left that church to answer the call of being a chaplain, I think for 5 years. Do you know when he came back to his church after the war? Wasn't much left. People were scattered. But he answered the call of being appointed as a chaplain. George Washington loved the man, like he did several of the chaplains. One story about this chaplain, John Gonneau. His place, as he knew and the chaplains knew, you know, not everybody is expected to be on the front line getting bullets. Doctors aren't expected to be there. Chaplains aren't expected to be there. Their ministry lies in meeting the spiritual needs and encouraging the people. But though he knew his place was in the back with the officers, and his work was important, do you know, he writes and he talks about one day he found himself in the front lines with the soldiers. A battle was raging. And his writings, his words were this: somehow I got to the front. Somehow I got to the front. And the people who saw what happened were amazed. What had happened? He saw the men. They were failing in their courage. They were starting to retreat. And he writes, somehow I got to the front. Well, he got to the front to encourage the men to keep moving forward, not to give up. He was not only ministering to their spiritual needs, but he somehow found his way right to the front, helping them stay in the battle. Folks, I wonder, could it be said about you, somehow you got to the front? Somehow you answered a call to an appointment, to a work that God wanted you to do, that God has for Christians. Verse 18, we see one of your appointments is the ministry of reconciliation. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It involves bringing two opposing parties back together in peace. That's what reconciliation is all about. It involves work. Verse 4 of chapter 6, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And then he goes on to give a huge list of difficulties in work and things that are involved in the ministry of this reconciliation. Are you willing to get involved? Are you willing to find yourself in the front lines? This appointment not only involves the ministry of reconciliation, but it involves the word of reconciliation, verse number 19. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This word involves knowledge of the gospel. This word involves knowledge of, look at verse 21. I love this verse so much. For he hath made him, God hath made his son Jesus, to be sin for us, who, Jesus, knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. One of my other favorite verses in this topic is 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Folks, there are only two categories, the just and the unjust. And I guarantee you are not in the just category when you're born. All of us are what the Bible calls unjust, unrighteous, sinners. And that's why you need this one person who ever lived who is just, righteous, holy, perfect, sinless, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you know that's what salvation is all about? This person dying for these. And these people who refuse to acknowledge Jesus for who he is, they will never see heaven. Never. People who try to work their way to heaven, people who try to earn, to show their own righteousness, it's not going to work. You need the righteousness of the sinless Son of God to enter heaven's gate. And that's your job as a Christian. Once you have received his righteousness by faith, once you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have a word to know. You know, one of the reasons why some of us, maybe we lack confidence to witness to someone is because we don't actually know how to put all the pieces together and share the gospel with someone. And that's a legitimate reason for fear, because you don't exactly know what to say. I would encourage you. If you don't know how to share the gospel with someone, that's not so bad as not being willing to learn. I really encourage you, learn how to really present the gospel to people. Get a knowledge of this word of reconciliation, so that you can be involved in the ministry of telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The last person that we led to Christ in Cameroon before we left was in my own neighborhood. The churchgoer, he's an influential leader of the village, so to speak. And I was invited to a meeting where a number of men were there discussing the problems of the village. And me and my other pastor, we showed up there. We were invited by one of the men. And we were given the floor before their meeting. And we preached to them for an hour. I preached to them. This other pastor preached to them. And one man in particular. Have you ever seen someone really interested in the gospel? I mean, his eyes were big. He asked questions. He didn't get saved that day, and neither did any of these other men. But a week later, he came to my house. He says, since that day, a week ago, that you came to our meeting and preached to us and gave us these Bibles, and he was just reading it. He said, I have not stopped thinking about God in the Bible. Folks, there are people out there who really want to know. There are. Religious people. And there's nothing wrong with religion if you're really seeking the truth. But when the true faith comes into your ears, they're going to know. This man trusted Christ as his Savior right in my house. I really pray and looking forward to going back and seeing him. He always asked so many questions in the few weeks to follow his conversion. I thank God for him. We need more people involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Greatest privilege on earth. Are you getting it this morning? It's to represent the King of Kings. Lastly, as we finish, you have an announcement. An ambassador has an announcement to make, and we've kind of already talked about that. You know, the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, but if you look down in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How should an ambassador announce the message of salvation? Ambassador Stevens was described as a passionate statesman who devoted his life to these missions. Do you know what he was doing the day he died? Why he was away from the full security that, well, anyway. That day that he died, one of the things that he did was attend a ceremony for a local Libyan farmer who had saved the life of an American pilot several months before during the war. And Ambassador Stevens was there to honor that farmer because that farmer was opening an English-speaking school. Folks, I tell you that Ambassador was on the ground with those people, and he loved doing what he was doing. I want to be the kind of ambassador that is with our people, that is pleading with our people, that is involved in the ministry and the word of reconciliation, and once they get it, once they really understand, the light goes on, their eyes get big, and they're ready to now have this announcement to make with them. Be ye reconciled to God now. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know the facts. You've heard the gospel. Now do something. There's nothing wrong with encouraging someone to make a decision on what they've heard. I'm glad my father gave me a choice when I was 6 years old. I'm glad God gives us each a choice. But when my father explained the gospel to me, I didn't hesitate. I understood what I needed to know, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I never regretted that day. And I thank God for the day I became a child of God. Now I have an announcement to make to people. God's heart says, as though God did beseech you by us. That word beseech, we know it throughout the Bible. It means to beg, to plead. The ambassador's heart comes through. We pray you. We plead with you in Christ's stead. Christ is not walking this earth right now. You are. And you have Christ in you. And you have authority from him. You have this appointment by him, and you have an announcement to make with people, to share with people. You have a pleading with them. You have an opportunity to give them to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning. Maybe you're not yet to that point of receiving Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you need to know some more of the facts. You know, you need to be saved with a proper knowledge. You need to know who Christ is. You need to know why he did what he did for you, why he died on the cross. Dying on the cross for your sins sounds good, but has that really sunk in? He was the perfect Son of God. You are a sinner separated from God, deserved God's punishment. And that he was the only one who could bring us to God, that he might bring us to God. Folks, when you trust in Christ, he brings you to God. I encourage you this morning, if there's anyone here who's not trusted in Christ, you need to be saved this morning. Maybe you, as a Christian, you can think of someone in your life, someone in your sphere of influence, who you are God's representative to them. Maybe you need to share some more of the gospel with them. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you need to really pray for them. Maybe you need to take that next step and plead with them and show them the importance of not waiting, not delaying. What is it? Where are you this morning in all of this? Do you have an announcement you need to make with someone? I really encourage you to pray and to do that. Would you surrender today to represent Christ to your family, your own kids, your wife? Are you representing Christ to them like you should? Will your family, will your kids not be saved at an early age because of your own lack of influence on them? What about your neighbors? Would you surrender today to represent Christ to them? What about your community here? Thank God for your testimony already and some of the things I've heard. What a blessing. Would you surrender today to represent Christ to your country? Our country needs more representatives of Christ. We need them. This election makes that very clear to me. We need more Christians to commit themselves, to surrender, to be this ambassador. I wonder this morning if you're a young person or other, do you surrender to represent Christ on the foreign field, to a foreign power? I've met more government officials in the last 3 years than I ever have in my entire life. To chiefs, to secular government, to local government, national government. Even met the ambassador to Cameroon from the United States. Would you surrender to be a representative of Christ to a foreign power? Whether it's Africa or wherever, would you surrender this morning? Would you acknowledge with me this morning that the greatest privilege on earth is to represent the King of Kings, and then go out and do it in the sphere God calls you to? Lord, I pray this morning that you would just cement this into our hearts this morning. Lord, may it be settled, Lord, in our hearts that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are. Lord, that fact does not change. Lord, help us to be the ambassadors you want us to be. Lord, you are all the authority we need. We thank you for the appointment you've given to us in the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, I love being a missionary in Cameroon. Lord, help me to even be more faithful here in America. Everywhere we go, Lord, we're representatives of you. Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, to know how to make this announcement to people. Lord, encourage us, educate us, Lord, empower us, whatever the need is, Lord, to be a greater and better ambassador representative for you. Lord, thank you for this church. I pray, Lord, that you'd call people to serve you wherever it may be. Lord, use this church in many more years to come. Lord, may many representatives be sent forth from this place into this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Pastor.
Would you take your hymn book, please, and turn to 241? 241. I wonder this morning if there are those that God has spoken to. Maybe the Lord's moved in your heart, and you believe that the Lord would have you to serve him, maybe as a missionary, maybe as a pastor. I don't know what the Lord would have you to do. But I do know this, that in a church that is purposed to honor Christ as we are, that God is going to call forth his people to serve. He doesn't put you and give you the kind of light that you had just so you can sputter out somewhere and spend your existence on yourself, but rather that you would be used of the Lord. And I wonder this morning if God's spoken to hearts. If he has, I hope that you'll slip forward this morning, that you'll get this matter settled. Dr. Bill Hall used to say that if you won't walk an aisle for God, you won't walk a street for him. And I think sometimes that there are inhibitions that we have. Well, I can't do that. I can't go forward or whatever. Well, you probably won't do much of anything if that's the case. I hope that the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and that you're willing to do whatever God wants you to do, wherever it might be, and whatever place of service that he would have you to do. Would you stand together? Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Maybe the need of your heart this morning is to be saved. Maybe you need to call upon the name of the Lord this morning. If that's your case, come forward. We want to share with you how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and get the matter settled once and for all. Not to live with doubts and with fears, but rather know for certain. You know, one thing that Christopher Stevens did not know, and that was, is anybody going to come and help? But if you're a sinner this morning, when you call upon Christ, he will come to help. Your cries will not go unheard. Isn't that wonderful to know? Your cries will not go unheard. The Savior is here to help. Let's sing together. Please. Father in heaven, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts and lives of our people. Lord, we know that there are young people that your Holy Spirit's working in their heart right now. Some of them for needs of salvation, others for needs of service to thee. And Lord, so many times we've already made our plans and we just kind of exist to fulfill our plans, but Lord, we need to know what your plans are. We need to know what your will is for our lives. And so I would ask, dear Father, that you would work in the hearts and lives of those that are here today to spur them on, to move on for thee in the sense that they are willing to do whatever you want them to do. Lord, it may not be Cameroon, West Africa. It may be South America. It may be here in the United States. There may be a young man here this morning that needs to preach the gospel. There may be someone here that needs to go to their friend at school that they need to witness to, but they won't do it because they're afraid they might lose a friendship. They just need to step out by faith and be an ambassador for Christ. Lord, we pray that you would do that kind of work amongst us today. We all have a sphere of influence. We all have a sphere of friends and contacts. Do they know Jesus? Have we told them? Lord, I pray that we might answer those questions honestly and that we might step forward, that we might move out for thee and be the ambassador that you've called us to be. Father, we thank you for the message this morning and we pray that you would work in our hearts. May the word of God continue to echo in our minds and in our hearts throughout this day. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.